All right. Howdy and welcome to the newly cleaned Michael A. Jackson Films studio. Excuse me. Probably should have picked up some water when I start these things. My name is Mike. I am a photographer. And this show is based on my opinions. Now, despite me being a photographer, we don't talk about photography very often. That's just kind of a added thing. Bill Burr doesn't talk about comedy very much in his podcast, so I figure, why should I have to talk about photography? That being said, I am super happy that I am where I am in my life. I'm taking some pictures. I'm selling a few. And I don't know. Just kind of happy to be me. And I hope that's okay. And I hope you're happy to be you. Oy, man. Oh, excuse me. But I will say this. If you are thinking of getting into being a photographer, if you are thinking about getting into any real business, your first job as a insert business owner title here, in this case photographer, your number one job is slowing everything down. Now I'm going to say this for documentation purposes only. I'm working on a contract with a customer who wants staff portraits, but also wants to mix in the graduation portraits of their graduating class of their business. They teach. Teach what is unimportant. It's one of those schools where you kind of give them $10,000 and they teach you how to do whatever it is. Usually state funded, usually targeted at females 18 to 25 years old, if you go by the commercials. So my job, like I said, is to slow things down. Okay, you want to mishmash all this stuff together? That is not how it works. We're going to have to separate this out and make this work for everybody. Most people will try to rush you into it and say, ooh, let's do this, let's do that, let's do that, let's do this. And then, you know, kind of push. It's not what this guy is doing, but you have to be very careful to, in any business, to slow things down. Okay, this is what you want done. You need to know that this is two different jobs. If you want me to shoot this particular group as well as do website pictures, it's two separate jobs. We can't do them on the same day. They are certainly not going to be the same price, and they are going to be two separate setups and breakdowns. Not anything I'd like to rush through, because that looks bad on everybody, because I'm going to give you a lower quality product. I'm going to have a lower quality reputation, and that's just not what I'm looking for. That's what I'm talking about, slowing stuff down. If you're just getting started, or if you're even working, and sometimes you forget, and you let a client rush you into something, and that's not cool. It's not cool at all. Hey, can you do this just real quick? No, there is no real quick. There are photographers out there who will do things real quick for you. And in my particular state, New Mexico, with only a population of 2 million, my competition for low price is massive. Massive. I go through other photographers' websites, and especially since the pandemic, most of the larger photographers in Albuquerque Metro are gone. Literally gone. They had been around for decades and decades and decades. And when the pandemic came around, they kind of cashed in their chips and moved on and retired. They knew that recovering from this would take longer than it would take to retire, or would take up to the time that they were planned on retiring anyways. So Blue Moon Photography, they closed down their San Mateo shop. Most, if not all, of the photography studios are gone. I was never going to rent one in the first place, but or try and mortgage a photography studio in the first place. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. All you need is an empty room. And, you know, now a lot of stuff is on location anyways. So why are you renting a room? But you cannot, I can't emphasize this enough. Do not rush. Take your time. Do it right. Any mafia boss will tell you the same thing. Make sense? Good. Here's something. Here's something that is really kind of getting under my skin. And like I said, we don't talk about photography very often, except for the beginning part of this one. And in this case, we're going to veer way away from photography. I am highly politically motivated. Protesting in the 90s, got arrested at protests, protests for anything and everything. I was like a little black lesbian, just angry at the world and ready to put up a sign for anything. And then I got really disillusioned with the idea when I said, wait a minute, hasn't Martin Luther King been protesting forever at that point? 30 years. Didn't it take 100 years for them to kind of give us some rights? 1960? Not long before I was born? Not long at all. They were still murdering us in the streets, openly calling me nigger as a child. In the streets, in front of J.J. Newberry's in Long Branch, New Jersey, on Broadway. Openly calling a 9-year-old a nigger just because I asked him what time it was. I was late and I didn't know what time it was. So like any other kid, I just kept asking and asking and asking. And this old guy, he just, leave me alone, nigger. And blew my mind, my little mind. And I honestly, I don't think I've ever talked about it until now. But that brings me to all these videos and newscasts, and because it's becoming more and more frequent, this climate problem that we have. Everybody pretty much wants to bury their head in the sand and keep moving and think that, you know, their recycling bin will take care of it. But that's not the case. It's way far gone than that. There's microplastics turning up in human bloodstreams, which means that it's in the animals that we're eating and has been for some time, which means at this point there's microplastics and all types of other materials, Teflon, in your brain. I can guarantee it. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a researcher. I'm not a climatologist. I'm not any kind of expert, but I do have the common sense to know that I have microplastics in my brain. That I have chemicals from manufacturing in my brain. Not only in my bloodstream, but also in my brain. So can we do, and I'm thinking about this today, can we do what it takes to right the ship for our species before a drastic change happens on our behalf without our control? I would say at this point, after 200 years of putting a monkey wrench into Mother Nature's works, it would take us probably an equal 150 to 200 years to clean up our act. and to live in harmony with the planet. Because, I mean, say what you want to say about the Native Americans. They were not a perfect race either. They murdered and killed each other on a routine basis and had wars and sacrificed people to gods and did whatever they had to do. But they knew how to live in union with the land. There were billions of buffalo. Billions of buffalo. To the point where food was everywhere. It was never an issue. There was no food insecurity when the Native Americans ran this land. There was no housing insecurity. There was plenty of room. With 150 to 200 million Native Americans on this land for thousands and thousands of years, that means they had likely 8 to 10 acres per person across the entire country. So tribes that like to live up in the snow, they had plenty of room. Plenty of room. Tribes that like to live in the low desert had plenty of room. Tribes that wanted to live in the high desert had plenty of room. And they lived in harmony with the land, and they had food, and they had water, and they had shelter, and it was never an issue. They didn't have to go to a bank to get a mortgage to get a place to live. But we have been conditioned to think that if we need a place to live, we need to go to a bank. We have been conditioned to think that if we need a place to live, we need to go to the classifieds, wherever they are nowadays, and find an apartment for rent in our price range, which doesn't exist anymore. And we need to, not only that, and this is one of the most insidious parts of it, we need to cover it in paint and materials that we dig up out of the ground and refine and paint everything and cover everything in 100 years of lead paint, 100 years of petroleum products, 100 years of refined steel, clear-cut wood, and keep going and going and going. And not only that, building properties where no one will ever live. How many developments go up and the developer loses money, runs out of cash, the market dries up, whatever happens. And then that property sits abandoned. Go on YouTube and look for the people who explore abandoned properties. They're all over the place. They're all over the world. Abandoned apartment complexes. Abandoned malls. How, you know, side note, how awesome would it be to turn all the abandoned malls into housing? It's in the middle of town. No one ever goes there anymore. There's restaurants and work around. Why not turn the malls, and we're veering off the subject here for a second. Why not turn the malls into housing? There's nothing in there. The first thing you do is add an urgent care in the abandoned mall. Add an urgent care, because as a former EMT and current firefighter, most of the calls are minor injury calls, but we don't have a choice but to transport them to the hospital, to the emergency room, because ambulances don't go to urgent cares. We can take someone from the urgent care, but we don't take anybody to the urgent care. So why not put an urgent care in the mall? First step. Second, make up a new psychiatric urgent care in the mall. Then take a third one, take the JCPenney that's no longer a JCPenney anymore, turn that into a chemical dependency urgent care. And then turn the Sears, the old Sears that used to be in the mall, turn that into a free grocery store where you take all the food donations from all the pantries and take the food from all the, to have all the pantries in the area, the food pantries in the area, take all their food to the mall and have them distribute it for free to the people as they need it. The remaining 75 spaces, stores, or whatever they're called, turn them into apartments. divide them in half, because Foot Locker's a giant building, divide it in half, put in the toiletry and plumbing they need, gets them off of the street, gets them out of the tourist areas that need to remain tourist areas for the economy, and gets them away from, you know, the elements, out in the sun in Phoenix at 115 degrees, in New York when it's minus 25. We used to call them bum-sickles when I did autopsies in Jersey, when the homeless freeze to death. Gets them off the street, gets them inside, out of the elements, where they can begin to get their head together. And here's what I'm saying. These people aren't, we're not talking about jobless. Jobless people aren't on the streets. They aren't the ones asking for money. There are no jobless people asking for money in this country, period. The only people asking for money in this country on the street, when you walk out of a store or a restaurant or 7-Eleven or Maverick or whatever store, the only people out there are people with psychiatric and chemical dependency problems. These aren't homeless people. These are the discarded, mentally deficient. And we don't really give a shit, do we? Do you give a shit? Because if you did, you'd hit them in the pockets. You'd hit your senator in the pockets. And you'd say, hey, let's get them off the street. They're here because they want money. Let's take them where they don't need the money anymore. Because here, they can get in the mall, in what used to be a mall, they can get the chemical dependency help that they need right on spot where they could walk to inside an air-conditioned mall. They can get the food that they need for free. They're secure inside. They have a place, you can put in a little garden where they could grow food, an arts and crafts thing where they can make stuff to sell. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. I'm only a guy from Jersey. What do I know? But if I was president, that'd be one of the first things I'd do. One of the very first things I'd do. All these empty malls, strip mall, whatever kind of mall, doesn't matter. They're all empty. It's like a massage parlor and some sort of weird chicken place, and that's it. Why not turn it into an enclosed area where they can have peace? Do you know what it's like to live on the streets all day? All right, it's enough of that. Just an idea. Just an idea from a black guy from Jersey. What do I know? I don't have yoga pants or blonde hair. I don't wear a wool hat in August. My jeans ain't skinny in high water. I don't have fancy shoes on. I'm just a regular black guy from Jersey. So what could I possibly know, right? Back to the point. What it would take for Americans, let's just talk America, to reverse the damage over the next 150 years is what it would take. Number one, we would have to stop today, what we're doing. No more painted surfaces, no more paint, no more wood, no more grocery stores, no more cars, no more gasoline, no more having John on the east side of town, who lives on the east side of town, going to work on the west side of town, while Eddie is doing the exact same job on the east side of town but lives on the west side of town. They can both do their jobs from home, number one. And number two, the jobs they're doing are identical but on different sides of town, and they pass each other on the highway every day for 25 years. Why are we still driving to a building to do anything, to go to school, to go to work? Why? Especially to go to school. Why do we need to go to a building to go to a job? For what? If you're working at a restaurant, I get it. If you're a performer, I get it. You work at a theater, I get it. Yeah, that's that type of stuff. I'd love to be able to drive into town twice a month to go to a theater. And you'd have plenty of time to do it if you're only working 5 hours a day for the same pay. Wouldn't that be awesome? See, nobody told me all these ideas when I was 18 trying to put my life together. I got married when I was 19, I think. And just, I did all the cliche things, trying to buy a house, working for a ridiculously low price, thinking I was going to do the American dream somehow, working as a mechanic at Future Chevrolet in Mattawan. What? They went out of business. And it was just a roller coaster from there. There's no way. There's no way. That was really just the beginning. That's when the millennials were being born. I have three of them. And there's no way that that was going to happen. But I didn't know. I just kept plugging away. And thus somehow I get a loan and it would all happen. But it didn't. And it shouldn't have. And it never was going to. But we have to give all that up to save our place on this planet. Because George Carlin, hear me out, was perfectly right. Perfectly right. He says, and I quote, "The earth is not going anywhere. We are." End quote. Can we save our place on this planet? Maybe. Right now it's a strong maybe. I have my doubts. But truthfully, in 20 years, I'll be dead. I got 20 years on this rock, and I'm out. I'm done. I go get to see what happens elsewhere. But now that I've lifted my head up from the grindstone and I'm looking over the horizon, I can see clearly now. The rain is gone. There's no more obstacles in my way. I know what that lyric means now. I got more road behind me than in front of me, which gives you a perspective that you cannot see when you're 18 to 34, the target age market audience for these cars, houses, apartments, American dream. That's who they're selling the American dream to. Another comedian on TikTok, one of my absolute favorites. He says, "Oh, I'm a 50-year-old dad. And, you know, we're going into my kid's school and we're doing this parent-teacher conference. I'm 50 years old. I don't know. Whatever." So I walk into, and I quote, I walk into the room and I say, "All right, we all know none of this matters, right?" So as a parent, I understood exactly what he was saying. 50 years old, none of this fucking matters. I got less than 20 years. You know, it was 20 years ago, the year 2000. I'll be gone before 2040. I'll definitely be gone before 2050. So I'm really talking to you from beyond the grave right now. And in my eyes, the dirt in the water, the dry marshes, the birds that got nowhere to go. They're roosting in a 100-foot by 100-foot half dry marsh in New Mexico, which is fucking sad. All the rubber from the tires on the road. The planes belching out God knows what all day. Dumping fuel into the air before they land, which is routine. We're buying everything we possibly fucking can. You know how many cars are in America? When this is over, when we're done talking here, Google how many cars are in America. And then Google how many people are in America. There's like 9 cars for every person. It's unnecessary. Your boss doesn't need another classic car. Your boss doesn't need another 4 cars for his kids. It's ridiculous. It's out of control. We don't need more highways. We need less highways. I'm sitting down. I went and did some bird photography. And I'm literally patiently waiting for my shot from this bird. And then it hit me. If you look at the earth from the outside, not as a human, from the outside, maybe as a doctor from another planet, you have to kind of take a broad look at things. And if you looked at this planet without knowing what a human was, without being able to even see the humans, you would see that of the billions of bison that used to be on the ground, the trees that used to shade the water, shade the land, the water that used to be everywhere, the animals that used to be everywhere, you would see, looking at it objectively from the outside, you would see, as a doctor from another planet, open wounds. These roads, cities, towns, construction, clear cutting, are open wounds that we are pouring as much petroleum products into these open wounds as we can. The canopy from the trees is gone. We're putting out all the good fires. The fires are supposed to happen. I'm a firefighter. They're supposed to happen. That's how new shit happens. That's how we get new green, is when it burns out everything else. That's supposed to happen. But what happens when we remove the canopy, the safety canopy that protects the ground from the sun? One thing I'm kind of concerned with is, does that what global warming means? Is that the planet is heating up, so basically the water is vaporizing and is basically just in the clouds instead of coming back down? Is that what that means? But we're pouring as much petroleum products into open wounds on the planet as we possibly can, and here's my proof. The next time you're driving down the road, and that same dip in the road where the car just whoop, whoop, kind of goes down and up, before you get to that dip in the road that you hit every day and the car goes up and down really, really quick, take a look right before you get to it the next time you take that road. That bump shakes a little bit of oil off of every car. There's a puddle. There is a puddle of oil there, distillate, used oil on the ground. How many cars a day blow a hose and dump ethylene glycol all over the side of the road? Happens to me. It happened to me hundreds of times. You blew a hose and there's antifreeze all over the ground. How many times a day does that happen? How many times a day does a car blow a gasket, crankcase, oil seal, oil pan seal, and dump 5 quarts of oil? A truck gets into a big one of those big rig trucks, semi, gets into an accident, cracks the block, and dumps 20 gallons of oil all over the ground. Where does that oil go? Where does the rubber go from the tires? Oh, when it rains, it rinses off into the sewer. And all those little bits of rubber float. Some of it sinks, some of it floats. Either way, it fucks us. Because when it sinks to the bottom, who gets it? The animals. When it floats on the top, who gets it? Us. We would literally, very literally, have to stop our world right now. But here's the rub. We are unwilling to stop. We love our phones too much. We love our TV too much. We love our things too much. Our car that makes us feel better, that goes fast, from red light to red light, our TVs in every fucking room, our toilets, our chemicals, our laundry detergent, our everything has to smell good chemicals, deodorant with aluminum in them, all of our clothes, millions of tons of clothes a day. We love all that too much to even think about saving our spot on the earth. And to me, I wish I saw a better way around it, but I can't say that I see a better way. I can't say I see us giving it up to save our spot on the planet. But like Mr. Carlin said, this planet has been through way worse than us. Way worse than us. Earthquakes, collisions with other planets, asteroids, meteors, fires, volcanoes, splitting the crust, plate tectonics, all type of nonsense. We are a minor surface nuisance. And this is a self-correcting system that will correct all over our asses. I don't know, but what do I know? I'm just a black guy from Jersey, right? Here's one other thing. I don't have segues, by the way. Here's another thing I noticed. When the internet first happened, I was very, very pleased to see all the UFO videos. To see all of them in one place. But as time goes on, as time went on from 2010 to today, they've just sort of petered and petered and petered out, and there are less and less and less and less and less UFO videos. Why is that? Why are there less UFO videos? Maybe I'm crazy. But I don't think so. I don't think I'm crazy. But I could be. I could well be. Maybe in the land of the insane, I am the last sane one. I don't know. Anyways, thank you for tuning in. My house is clean. My refrigerator still stinks, and I'm not sure why. I've been cleaning that thing and cleaning that thing, and it's still like it just every once in a while, I'll go in there and I'm like, what does that smell? So I started spraying everything with rubbing alcohol. I cleaned it out with Dawn, and then once it's dry, I hit it with some rubbing alcohol, and hopefully that kills it this time. Who knows? We'll talk next time. But I hope you have an awesome day. Think about changing the world. And in all honesty, changing the world means hitting them in the pockets, and they're going to fight back. And that is exactly what you think it is. If you stop buying what they're selling, they're going to start shooting until you start buying again. But what do I know? I'm just a black guy from Jersey. Love you guys. You have an awesome week. I took a part-time job, and we'll talk about that in the future. Until I start selling more contracts and I become more established in my community as a photographer. And I think that takes about 5 years. And we'll talk about that coming up. Till then, you have an awesome week. And I'll talk to you later.